Now, I did see a couple of new faces here tonight as well, so I probably should introduce who I am. My name is Leon. I'm the pastor here at church, and it's my privilege just to explore the word with you tonight. If you are visiting, if you are new, please take note that there are a little connect card in the pews. If you'd like to mention anything to us or share with us something or just connect with us in some way of giving us your detail, just fill that out. Tell us something about how you found the service or how we can maybe support and help you. And you'll find those in blue or in other flip side would be green. Green if you've been, blue if you're new. I keep on remembering that. Thanks to Gail's good work in the colors. So if you are new, use the blue side and just write any detail on there. Also just briefly to explain to you why we're looking at this passage tonight. We have a major series that we go through every term. This term, it's all about going on a journey with Abraham, but not getting to know him as such, but getting to know the God of the covenant, the God who's in relationship, steps into a relationship with Abraham and also with us, so that we can just understand who that God is, who wants to be our God as well, so that we get to know that he matters and that he's important to us and for us to understand that relationship. As we started the series, I did tell you that we will have a couple of very colorful things that we will look at in the life of Abraham, and tonight's no exception to that very strange and colorful part of Abraham's history that we are focusing on. Well, let me start by asking you to think about your life and maybe recall any highlights, high points in life that you've experienced. What would be the things that would stand out in your life as just a high point where you felt God's blessing and you just felt blessed in life? Maybe it's a certain memory you have. Maybe it's a special award you achieved. Maybe it's the day you graduated. Maybe it's the day you got married. Maybe it's the day one of your children was born. Maybe it's the day you came to faith. And that's just a high point you can think back on. But let me also ask you about the flip side of that, about the low points in life, because if you think back, they would be there as well. The times when you found yourself to be unfaithful to the Lord, when you kind of realized you're not where you should be in life, when you knew that you disappointed someone or even disappointed God himself. And very often in life we find these two things happen quite close to one another. And we find the same thing here in the life of Abraham. In this one chapter, we find God calling Abraham, establishing this relationship with him, how he just leaves everything behind, lets it go, and follows God to the promised land. What a high point in the life of Abraham. And then from verse 10 onwards, we see one of the times in Abraham's life that he probably would have rather forget. It certainly was a low point in his life. But even in that point of time when he was unfaithful, when he was in this low point, God was still faithful right to the end. And that's the thing I want us to understand tonight. It immediately made me think of this verse in 2 Timothy 2 verse 13. If we are faithless, he, that is God, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. No matter who we are and how we live our lives, God stays faithful to us. And that is such a grace that we understand and experience tonight, and we'll discover that in this passage. It's as if we will discover how we perhaps try to hold on to God with these small little sinful hands and we can't. But we discover that he holds on to us in these amazing hands of grace and strength, and he never lets us go. So those are two things I want to explore with you tonight. Our own faithlessness, unfaithfulness, and God's faithfulness. As I mentioned, Abraham was just in the presence of the Lord. The calling he received, the obedience he showed by going to this promised land. Everything was going well, you'd think, for Abraham, but so quickly he forgets about those promises. And it's so strange that that happens in our lives as well. Things change so quickly. You know, we come to church, we get strength from the Lord here. We are strengthened in our faith by the Lord's Supper. But so often we wake up the next morning, we continue with our lives, and we forget about God's faithfulness in our lives and the things that He's desiring that we should do. In Abraham's life, he finds himself in Canaan, the promised land. This is where God was leading him. This is where God wanted him to be. And in the very next verse, we find that a famine came on this land. Now, we don't know whether God did this intentionally or what the reason for it was, but what we do know is, in these circumstances, Abraham is finding himself, his faith is being tested. And the question is, how would he do in this test? Well, he didn't pass this test at all. It was a test. He failed. God told Abraham in his calling that God would bless Abraham, that he would provide him with a land to live in, that he would be his God and care for him, that he would give him as many descendants as the stars in the sky. God would give all those things. And now Abraham starts to doubt. There's a famine in the country. What is he going to do? And I can just imagine how I would have thought, well, God said all these blessings that he would bring on me, but where are they now? Where is this God who is blessing me? He said that he would bless others through me, and now I'm finding myself in a place where there's famine and there's no blessing I can see at all. So maybe I need to take charge of these things. I will take care of the food I need. Maybe he was thinking, still trusting the Lord in some way, that God would provide the descendants and God would provide the bigger picture. God would be there for his faith. But you know those smaller items like just getting food on the table or things that you yourself and your own strength can achieve? He'll look after those things, Abraham thought. So he would make some decisions on his own. And he starts to drift away from where God wants him to be. He doesn't stay in the promised land, but he departs from there and goes to Egypt in seeking food, which you'd always find in Egypt with the Nile River there. What is also very interesting is, as soon as you start to step away from the Lord, things turn bad in your whole life. And we see this with Abraham as well. As soon as he departs from the promised land and goes to Egypt, this is what happens. He starts to worry and he starts to be anxious about things. He starts to imagine things going wrong. And he starts to say, well, what if we get to Egypt and they see this beautiful wife I have? What if the Pharaoh is going to take my wife from me? They haven't even got to Egypt yet, and he's starting to worry about all these things as he drifts away from the Lord. He's losing his trust in God. And very often when this happens as well, things just take a downward spiral and more things go bad and you start sinning more as well. He's finding himself going to a different place where God wants him to be. He's not trusting the Lord as much as he should be trusting. And now he's even resorting to telling lies to spare his life and perhaps the life of his wife as well. So he's thinking, well, if we get to Egypt and if they see how beautiful Sarah is, maybe we should tell a lie by saying, you're not my wife, but you're my sister, because then they would spare our lives. Otherwise, they might take you by force and they might kill me, he was thinking. No, this is half a lie only. In Genesis 20, we actually read that Sarah was a half-sister of Abraham. So maybe Abraham was even thinking, this is not completely false, so it's not that bad. It's just half a lie. But yet, although it wasn't completely false, it was completely being unfaithful to what God had promised and what God said to him. And then what he fears happens. Abraham and Sarah gets to Egypt. The people see that she was a good-looking woman. They mention this to the Pharaoh, and he takes her into his own palace. Well, as Sandy mentioned last week as well, by this stage, Sarah was more than 65 years old. Can you just imagine that? Her being that beautiful at this age. Quite an encouragement, I guess, to the ladies. some people suggest that they counted years a different way and she wasn't that old. What we do know is she was above the age of expecting descendants and being pregnant. So if you take that into account, you think about the Tasmanian lady who felt pregnant, got a baby at 62, maybe this isn't too far off. Maybe she was that old. We don't know, but she was a beautiful lady. Pharaoh took her into his palace. And Abraham, through this, we find, was blessed, had a good life under Pharaoh. We read in this passage that the Pharaoh treated Abraham well for her sake, for Sarah's sake. And Abraham acquired sheep and cattle, male and female, donkeys, manservants, maidservants, and camels. So you think the schemes that they had is working out. But yet, if you are faithless, if you stray away from the Lord, no matter how good life seems to be, you'll never find fulfillment, because that is not where true happiness is to be found. And we find the same thing here. We might think that things are going well in the life of Abraham, but it certainly is not. See, there's more to play here as well that we should recognize. God made promises not only to Abraham, but right from the start in the Bible, he mentioned a Savior coming. And as we look back at the Bible, this was the line that God chose to bring the Savior Jesus Christ to us, through Abraham and Sarah. If this relationship, this marriage is to be broken up here and he is to be taken away from Abraham, then that line would possibly end. And the line of the promises of his Savior for us as well would be finished. And that's the situation that Abraham finds himself in. It's the end of the line. And then we read a change. We read a three-letter word that we find in the Bible every so often. But. It's such a great word to read. We find it in many passages, where God's love for us is compared to how undeserving we are. It says, but the Lord. But the Lord inflicted serious diseases on Pharaoh and his household because of Abraham's wife, Sarai. God stayed faithful. God remembered all the promises he made to this couple and to us, and he would stay faithful and fulfill those promises. Now, if you think about what Abraham did, I guess God would be in his rights to tell Abraham, well, listen, I made these promises to you, and I called you to the promised land, and I would say that I would bless you and care for you, but you deserted me, you moved away. You are finding yourself in Egypt without wife. So therefore, well, hope you're happy there. Stay well. He doesn't. He doesn't. He steps in. He rescues once again. And we find this God so often in the Bible, where he steps in and saves us and rescues us, even though we are so undeserving, so faithless, stepping away from him on a daily basis. God sent diseases, sent plagues over the house of Pharaoh. And we don't really know how, but in some way Pharaoh understood this to be because of what he did wrong. He took Sarah as his own, and she was married to another person. So therefore, he sent her back to Abraham, and we read at the end of this passage that they then depart again. Things are now turning back, you think, to where God wants them to be. Now see, these are the two sides I just want you to understand tonight. Faithlessness in our lives in comparison to the faithfulness of God our Father. I think it's at the core of what we will also celebrate tonight in the Lord's Supper. How we once again are reminded of the fact that we are so undeserving, that we are so sinful, that we need the Lord Jesus to be our Savior. Otherwise we would be lost. But we are reminded of God's faithfulness as he provides eternal life to us through his Son. What a joyful moment to see God's care and love in this wonderful sacrament. as I struggled with this whole issue over the last week or so, thinking about the message, it's just a memory that came to me that was haunting me, so I'll share that with you tonight as well. About my own parenting, I guess, in some way too. Now, maybe some of you would be able to relate to this. Maybe some of you might be thinking that you need to go to the authorities and report me tomorrow. But in my own parenting, in my culture, in my background, what we did was when our kids misbehaved, we punished them. We disciplined them. And we often did that with a smack or two. Not doing it anymore, but did so on many occasions when they were younger. And maybe you might be thinking that I'm a bad person for doing so, and I'm definitely not the best parent they could have. But I did that because I cared. And what the kids might not understand, no matter what method we choose to discipline our kids, when we do so, it hurts us more than it hurts them. Have you experienced that? If I think back at those moments of disciplining my kids, and I think back at those moments, it still hurts me inside. And thinking back, I can also remember the flip side of that. Receiving a smack or two. I actually talked this morning about this as well, and I mentioned it to be a hiding, and then someone said, no, don't talk about hiding. That's a serious word that I can't mention. But I remember my dad punishing me and giving me a smack or two after I did something wrong. And he was a very sensitive guy, and I can remember a couple of times, but one certain instance where he sat me down before giving me a smack and had a talk to me and explained to me why he was going to do this. And as I looked at him, I could see the tears swell in his eyes, how he was hurting by what I did and what he was now going to do to me. And to this day, I regret what I did. I can't remember what I did, but I regret doing that because I could see the hurt in his eyes. Now, Ephesians tells us that we hurt, we grieve God on a daily basis. And that's our faithlessness, and I think that's what we need to understand tonight as well. How much we grieve the Lord if we are disobedient and faithless. How much God was hurt when he found Abraham to be in the wrong place, giving his wife away to someone else, forgetting all the promises he made to him. But God stays faithful. Now, if I also think back at those moments with my dad and with my kids when I punished them, you know, afterwards, it's as if they try and make up for it. I can remember how I went and made my dad a cup of coffee and said sorry and tried to do as much as I could to please him because I felt sorry for what I did. And because I could understand his love and his care for me and what he did, he only did because he wanted the best for me. And that's God's faithfulness. That's what we see tonight in the Lord's Supper, how much God cares and how we just desire to do what we can to please him for what he has given us. The love we see in the sacrifice of Christ. As we share this meal tonight, just keep those two things in mind. How unfaithful and faithless we can be. How undeserving we are. But how faithful God stays to the end. He made promises to us. He tells us in the Word as well that He would love and care for us, that He will provide, that He will give us His Son, and through His Son He gives us eternal life and all the blessings He promises. And if God makes promises to us, He will be faithful until the end. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look at the life of Abraham and see where he's finding himself, we can relate to this because we know that we are faithless in our lives too. So often in life we we grieve your spirit so often in life. We are not where we're supposed to be. So often in life, we aren't doing what we should be doing, and we're doing the wrong things. Lord God, I pray that you forgive us all those sins. As we come to this meal tonight and remember the sacrifice of Christ, I pray that we will just remember how much we need it. That we will embrace this wonderful gift in thankfulness, because we know that we cannot deserve any of this. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you for your care. Thank you that we are finding ourselves in a loving relationship with you, a relationship of grace, because of your faithfulness through your Son. Once again, Lord, you stepped in to rescue us, to save us. You've given us your Son to rescue us out of death itself, from sin itself. You rescue us that we might have life eternal with you. Lord God, as we share this meal tonight, I pray that you'll strengthen our faith and that you'll just bless us in your spirit so that we might have this desire just to live a life that is more pleasing to you and more grateful for what you've given us. I pray that as we share this meal, Lord, you will help us remember our Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for us. Amen.